Let's go to the phone. Andrea Morozik is the spokesperson for the Institute of Marriage and Family. Andrea, thank you for your time today. What is your institution's opinion of this decision?
Well, it's a very, very short-sighted decision. It's a very poor one. Prostitution is always dangerous, whether it is legal or illegal. And we just have so much evidence from other jurisdictions across the globe where legalization of prostitution has, at best, not done anything to protect prostitutes. And at worst, it's made the situation harder by increasing organized crime, by increasing human trafficking. There's evidence that the Netherlands, for example, the mayor of Amsterdam spoke out in 2007. They have had a legalized prostitution law in place since 2000, I think, and they're trying to clean up now. He said that crime has increased and that exploitation of women has increased and human trafficking has likewise increased. So if this is the sort of thing that Canadians want in their backyard, then we can go ahead. But I really see this as being an elitist decision made by one justice in Ontario, and it's not representative of what Canadians want for their children, for the safety of their communities.
Now, my previous guest said that, you know, it's history has proved that it goes on and on and on, and I look at that and say, yeah, it's the oldest profession, the whole thing. What do we do? Do we leave it the way it is in its back alley form? I mean, how do we stamp it out if we're not going to maybe provide, legal locations for this to happen?
One woman writing in the Globe and Mail last year, I believe, had cited all the sources indicating that even when it's legal, it's still underground. There's still danger lurking in legalized brothels. I wouldn't want any of your listeners to actually do this, but I have. I've read government procedure handbooks in New Zealand, for example, where they have advice for prostitutes on how to make it safer. And in one case, they wrote that you should look under the bed ahead of time to make sure there's no rope there with which the woman might be hung. So that's just one graphic example of just how safe it is in countries where prostitution is legal right now. The world's oldest profession is, in the words of Victor Malarek, who wrote a book about prostitution called The Johns. He's written two, actually, The Natashas and The Johns. He calls it the world's oldest oppression. And just because something has happened since the beginning of time does not mean we do not stand up and fight against it and protect the vulnerable, protect women who are not in this because they have a choice. They're in it because of extreme poverty, drug abuse, sexual abuse, etc. And so today, I think we see a lot of former prostitutes standing up and slamming this ruling and saying what prostitutes need is a hand out, not some sort of protection that's supposedly supposed to come through legalization.
You know, I understand from some of my sources that the fastest growing area of prostitution is men, and I haven't heard you or any of my other guests mention men yet. I mean, women are taking advantage of men, too.
Well, I don't know necessarily. I've read The Johns, which is Victor Mallard's book I just referenced. I think for the most part it's still women in prostitution. I'm sure that there are men suffering as well, and we shouldn't neglect that point. I wonder what, there might be a high percentage increase, but I don't think that they make up the highest percentage of prostitutes. That said, men need to be protected too. I'm sure that there are men and women preying on men and women, and we need to work to fight against legalization of prostitution for their protection as well.
Now the thing of it is, and I know that you said that it's all women are being exploited. I've talked to and interviewed many who say they're not being exploited. This was my choice, and I'm not on drugs, and I'm going to retire at 30 because I've made $2 million. Are they who you're representing, or would you like to see them go as far away as possible?
Look, they represent themselves, and they represent a very, very small minority. I just happened to watch a documentary last night on prostitutes in New York.
Uh-huh.
They're not living the lifestyle of Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman. They are living in absolute dire straits, going from turning a trick to buying the drugs back to turning a trick. And if anybody harbors the delusion that this is somehow going to land you in a penthouse suite overlooking a beautiful city vista, then they ought to go and visit some of those corners of the inner cities where women are suffering, and they don't even even know themselves anymore because they've suffered so much abuse. I have no doubt that there's one or two women out there, we certainly saw them in this case, who come forward and say that they're the happiest people in the world, but they represent themselves. And I'm here to speak for those people who can't speak on the radio for themselves because they're either high or turning tricks or living in poverty. And I think we ought to be standing up for those people, for the vulnerable in our society.
But I still need an answer I need to know what you want to do about it. It's not going away. So do we leave it in the back alley or do we do something about it?
I'm a fan of the Swedish model where they prosecute the buyer. I think they've seen declines in human trafficking, declines in prostitution. The results of that, there was a July 2010 report from independent inquiry in Sweden indicating that this had been a success. I think the story in Sweden is one where they thought they would go the legalization route and then realized it's actually doing terrible things. Some women's rights groups got together and they lobbied and they've changed that law and now they prosecute the buyer. And that's an important step. I think that that's one way to protect those people, men or women, who are in prostitution while cutting out the source of demand, I guess.
Now, isn't that what we've already been doing here? I know when I worked out in Saskatchewan, they had John's school and they had this school and this school, that all they did was bust the guys trying to buy the prostitutes.
I'm not 100% sure how it works here right now at this point, and so I wonder if there's things we can tighten up and get to a stronger prosecution of the buyer and without harming any or prosecuting the women involved, instead offering them some supports to get out of the industry, which incidentally 90% say they want to do.
Okay. All right. Well, we've only got a moment left. What do you want to see happen from here, Andrea? Is there going to be an appeal or something? Or?
I think I've heard the federal government is going to appeal it, and you've mentioned before on your show that there is 30 days and they can appeal and take it to the Supreme Court. I think it should go to the Supreme Court, and in the interim that we should maintain the laws that we have.
Did it surprise you finally that it was a female judge that made this decision?
I think it did, actually, because I believe this is a women's rights issue and that we ought to be protecting vulnerable women in this position. I can't speak for her or what she's thinking, but certainly she's not acting in the best interests of women, and she's allowing transactions. She's made people into commodities and allowed it. She's sort of given the okay for the purchasing of women and sometimes men, as you mentioned. So
okay.
Purchasing people, I don't understand
it. And let's not remember children. Let's not forget children too. These people that are 14 to 20 years old that we sometimes forget. Andrea, thank you very much for your time today. Well said, I think. And this is a compliment. This wasn't your first interview. Okay.
No,
you well said. You got everything out that you needed to, and I appreciate your opinion. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Okay.